I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Vermont Edition has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. If you drive by Montpelier High School right now, you'll see a conspicuous flag flying underneath the Stars and Stripes. In big, bold, white letters against a black background are the words, Black Lives Matter. It flutters in the blue breeze on the flagpole at the school entrance. It's there because students involved in racial justice asked for it to be flown. And it would appear, from all anyone can find out so far, that it might be the first time the Black Lives Matter flag has been raised at a high school in this country, which means that it made national news. And the students, administration, and families in Montpelier have been hearing reactions to it from around the nation. Today on Vermont Edition, we are going to talk with one of the students who was instrumental in making this happen, and with the principal of Montpelier High School, about why they wanted to do this and what it's been like to be in the spotlight because of it. Joellen Mensa is a Montpelier High School senior and co-founder of the school's Racial Justice Alliance, which initiated the push for the school to fly the Black Lives Matter flag. Joellen, thank you very much for taking time out of the school day to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
Mike McGrath is also with us. He's the principal of Montpelier High School. Welcome to you as well. I know it's a busy day for you, too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Joellen, could you start by talking a little bit about what motivated you to want to fly the Black Lives Matter flag at the high school?
I think the leading push for me was not wanting to deal with everything that was going on and kind of being pushed off the edge and, like, I was just kind of sick of everything that was happening, and I felt like we needed to make a stand.
What was happening that you were sick of?
Well, at Montpelier High School, and not just at Montpelier High School, but probably a lot of schools in this nation, students, especially black students, are not seen in their education, and it's very hard to go to school and not, like, learn about yourself at all. On top of the things you face with peers.
So you felt that way at school?
Yes.
And then thinking from that point to getting to the point where you said, well, let's fly the Black Lives Matter flag. How did those two things connect? How does that help you then feel either less fed up or address those issues?
Having the flag up to me makes it feel like my school is acknowledging the inequality that happens and that they are going to join us in this fight to make it equitable for all students.
Who did you first suggest your idea to? Did you have to confide in somebody before you brought it up in your alliance?
Oh, it wasn't my idea, actually. It was a teacher at my school's idea, and she talked to one of the students on the club, and the student brought it up during a club meeting.
And was it universally accepted within the club?
Yes, everyone was very excited about it from the beginning.
And then did you feel like you got a positive response from the administration and from other students when you brought it into a wider circle?
The students in our school weren't aware about it until this year. We started the work last year, and in the beginning when we met with administration, we did not get the most positive response, and we're kind of discouraged from doing it. But over time, I think through education, you've seen the vibe around school change. I think I can't think of a single teacher in my school who doesn't support it. And there are, like, a few students around school who think a school shouldn't be a place for political whatever. But that's the worst within our school community.
Is that the reaction you expected to get in your school community?
I think everyone at my school is pretty open to new things. And so I wasn't expecting anything, like, super bad from my peers or my teachers.
Mike McGrath, you're the principal of the school, and you also support flying the Black Lives Matter flag over the high school for the month of February. Why?
Yeah. Excuse me. Thanks again for having me and having the chance to answer that question. So I've really learned a lot from these students, and I think it's important to name Mary Ellen Solon, who's a social worker for us, has been a social worker for us, as leading that work for us. It's a personal growth that has happened and growth for our learning community and our broader community as well. And so I want to make sure that we mention her name and all the good work that she's done. And the support is really, for me, about recognizing these incredible young people who have really taken a risk and put up with inequalities throughout their experience in the school system, and saying, you're right, we recognize this and we want to make a visible commitment as a district and as a school to say that we recognize you and we can do better.
We're getting notes from some people coming in before the show. Dwayne on Twitter says, why will some white people not understand that Black Lives Matter does not mean white lives don't matter? Must we tell them over and over and over again? Save the whales doesn't mean to hell with the dolphins. Jay says, to those that don't understand or rely on ignorance, Black Lives Matter because in reality they haven't mattered in over 200 years, and it's about time they did. John says, it's about time, too. It's impossible for white people, I'm one, to truly get it, but we can try, and BLM is doing great work in that regard. Thanks, too, to the brave kids in particular for making this happen. And Alex in Brattleboro says, for those who feel threatened, scared, or confused about the flying of the Black Lives Matter flag, I would like to simply remind folks that the flying of the American flag represents many amazing things. It also represents a history of slavery, genocide, internment camps, and other forms of state-sanctioned violence against people of color in this land. The flying of the Black Lives Matter flag has not resulted in taking down the American flag. It gives voice and visibility to the experiences of Black communities. Thanks for covering this today. I hope you're able to moderate the conversations to remember that racism is not a Vermont value. And while all opinions are important to hear, we overwhelmingly in this country and in this state hear about the fears of what Black liberation will bring. I hope you're able to make plenty of room to focus on the positive impacts of the Black Lives Matter flags at the local high schools. So it is being portrayed, and as far as anybody can tell, that this is the first time that the Black Lives Matter flag has been flown at a high school in the United States. And as I said, that has made it something that's been newsworthy. It's been picked up by national publications. It's been spread around the country. Joellen Mensah, I'm wondering for you what that feels like to be the center of attention, to have your school be the center of attention, to be called on to do interviews like this on the radio. You know, what does that feel like?
From the beginning when we were going to do this, I didn't really think about the bigger picture. I was only thinking about what happens at our school and what the Black students are at our school needed. And I'm just happy that other schools can look at what we've done and can hopefully pick that up and do that at their schools as well.
Is it distracting from the work a high school senior has to do to be asked to comment on this action?
Yes, it definitely is. I have been struggling to keep up with my classes now, but I'll get caught up soon.
So why then say yes? Why say yes to us, for example? You know, what does it mean to be able to speak for yourself and to talk about the action and to talk about what it represents?
Well, I think it goes beyond just me, and I'm here to speak. Hopefully, I can do justice to all the students who are out there and they can't speak, or they feel like they can't come out and speak for themselves.
Mike, did it surprise you to see the attention that this has gotten?
Well, you know, it's not something that we practice for much in principal school, being a national story. So we weren't really sure what would happen. What's most important to us is that our internal system improves and that we do right by our students and right by our community. And when that's been our primary experience, is that we've had this outpouring of support locally. It's also garnered a lot of national attention. And I guess I thought that was possible, but you never know. I mean, you just never know what's going to sort of pick up in the zeitgeist of the national conversation. And we thought that that could be the case, so we did what we could to prepare for that in ways that we don't have a lot of experience for. But, you know, we were in writing a press release, taking our time with that and trying to really get it right. And then like Joellen and I have practiced a little bit answering questions, you know, just because that's not something we typically do. We thought that it might garner that kind of attention.
You mentioned that the local attention has been mostly positive. Is that not the same for the national attention?
Yeah. So I would emphasize again that the primary experience we've had is people reaching out to support us and congratulate the work and talk about how important it is. And there is some negative feedback. And I would say that most of that negative feedback, at least the most potent negative feedback, is out of state.
And I know you don't want to dwell on it, and I won't, but some of that potent negative feedback, I mean, you phrase it that way, but it's scary, it's hateful. You've gotten death threats?
Well, I think if you just check out social media, I don't really look too closely, but my name is in there, and you can see some pretty aggressive stuff, and it is alarming, especially because it's not the kind of thing that I'm used to experiencing. But the support is tremendously helpful, and it's 10-1. The support today, we unknowingly got a whole box of Valentines and treats for the whole school from a group in Maine. And those kinds of things really buoy us in the face of that kind of hate.
Joellen, have you been able to block out the hate, or are you feeling it come towards you as well?
Most of the hate that I've received is through social media, and it's very easy to just not look at the comments.
And do you not look at the comments? I mean, you say it's very easy. sometimes, maybe.
I've looked at a few, and we have a Facebook page, and a lot of people send messages or comment mean things on there, but it's really easy to just hide the posts. Nothing.
Let's go to Hal, who's calling in from Winooski. Hello, Hal. Go right ahead.
Thanks to you and BTR for having this conversation. Seeing the growing energy around Black Lives Matter speaks to Vermont's moment of stepping into the change that is coming. First UVM and Montpelier High School, and now Burlington High School, to fly the Black Lives Matter flag. I grew up in York, Pennsylvania, and came of age during the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s. That's when many U.S. cities were on fire every summer in response to racial injustices and institutional racism. And why? Because of the tipping point. And the tipping point is when 10% of a group or community impacts the greater whole. And I truly believe that Vermont is now experiencing its own civil rights era. People of color are not asking for change, but we are demanding it. And the question is, will we be proactive to the coming change or reactive to it? And therefore, I call on my white brothers and sisters to step up and take responsibility for institutional racism and to dismantle it. Racism wounds all of us. Thank you.
Hal, thanks for your comment. I appreciate that. Joellen and Mike, Montpelier High School, like most of Vermont, is mostly white. So Hal is saying it's time for white people to step up and do the work of dismantling systemic racism. Do you see your white classmates stepping up in this manner, Joellen?
Yes. I mean, since the majority of students are white, us colored students can't do everything, and it takes everybody to make a change.
And do you feel that support? Do you feel like white students at school are ready and willing to make the change and are doing that work?
Yes, definitely. We have lots of students who aren't of color who are in the Racial Justice Alliance. And regardless of whether or not they're in the Racial Justice Alliance, many students are very supportive at school.
Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I do agree. Thanks for your comments, Hal. And, you know, this has been quite an experience for myself and recognizing my own privilege. You know, I have just about all of them. And we're really trying to push that conversation to recognize racial privilege, but also able-bodied, disability, gender, sexual orientation, and others. Money, obviously. Education, all those things are privileges, and we're trying to evolve that conversation at our school. And I think beyond that, for anyone who might be looking or feeling this as well. And so there's some vocabulary for our predominantly white community and our predominantly white student population. And the vocabulary is privilege, systemic racism, implicit biases, and cultural competence. And so we want to talk about those things, understand those things, and work on those things. And I do think it's our responsibility. A few people have said, well, you only have 18 students of color at Montpelier High School. Like, why would you bother with this? And first of all, if we had one or zero, there's still the work to do. And just like Hal said, that racism affects all of us. And so we think that it is our responsibility as the dominant narrative to take ownership and recognize this and create an inclusive environment.
Joellen, I want to say goodbye to you because I know you have, what are you, like AP Calc you're working on and other school subjects that you're actually trying to concentrate on besides just public radio interviews and this important issue that you've helped to spur conversation on. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Joellen Mensa is a Montpelier High School senior, and she's co-founder of the school's Racial Justice Alliance. Principal Mike McGrath is sticking around, and as I said, we're going to continue this conversation. Ray in VT says, if the kids want to speak out for and with minority classmates or for those whom they see as being mistreated by society, then good for them. Sadly, some will hurl insults at them, often mischaracterizing the Black Lives Matter movement and its participants. Let's go to Zach calling in from Burlington. Hi, Zach. Go right ahead. Hi, Zach. You there?
Yes. I like to know why it's an issue. I don't understand why every time that a group of Black people do something, advocate anything about race, it becomes an issue. I don't understand why they won't let the flag be raised throughout the whole entire year. So that's my question. I don't understand why they're making a big deal out of it.
Zach, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And Mike, in some ways, I think you might agree with Zach. Why should it be a big deal? But, you know, you had to respond to some criticism. You, in raising the flag, addressed some of the issues that people sometimes bring up with the Black Lives Matter movement. You invited local police to come to the flag raising to try to create a bridge there. So how would you respond to Zach? Maybe not about why you think it's a big deal, but what you see other people making a big deal out of it for.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Great question. That's a question I've asked myself a lot lately. What I've learned in this experience, is having sort of a front row seat, is that race is an emotional topic for whatever reason. I think there's a lot of complicated history attached to that. There's a lot of complex feelings, and I don't claim to understand all of those, but they're there. And raising this flag in some ways is really simple. I mean, the statement Black Lives Matter is so simple. But because it is about racial justice, it becomes complex for a lot of people, and they receive that information, that message in different ways. And I think that is what is important for us locally and maybe beyond, is to say, well, how can we unpack that? Why is that complicated for us? And start to have a dialogue. And I've had several really peaceful, respectful dialogues with folks that didn't agree with the decision. And I've enjoyed those conversations. And I would encourage all of us to handle it in that way, to open up those dialogues and discuss why is this emotional for us.
So do you feel like raising the flag helps to have those conversations? Because, I'm always intrigued because flags are symbols, and yet they're very powerful symbols. Some people feel very, very strongly about their flag, whichever flag they feel represents them. And so you know, raising this flag as a symbol could help you have those conversations. It could also be seen as a distraction from the work that's happening inside the building and inside the community if all of the attention is focused on the flag, the flag, the flag. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this is sort of facilitating or starting or spurring some conversations, at least, that are positive.
Yes, it does. You're right, though, that the flag is one piece of the puzzle for us, or one piece of the work is probably more accurate. And it's the most visible piece. The metaphor that we've used a little bit is like an iceberg. And you can see the flag at the top of the iceberg. But there's a lot going on underneath for us in our school system. We've had faculty meetings dedicated to it, leadership trainings for all of our administration, a diversity grant. It's really years of work. We have a quote of the day in February. We watched the documentary The 13th as a whole school with debrief sessions. There's curriculum adjustments, direct curricular choices that we're making. So there's a lot underneath that iceberg. And that is what is most important in our district. But there's also an importance to having that public statement and taking a risk on behalf of our students, knowing that there was going to be some discomfort there. And that really shows our commitment to them and making that visible commitment to our students and to the work.
Let's go to Fred, who's calling in from Essex Junction. Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, folks. You know, the cause is great and justified. But my gripe, I guess, is what you just mentioned about the importance of school. This is school, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I understand the social cause and the injustifications throughout history. Keep this for an after-school curriculum or something. You just said you've changed courses and classes. We're taken away from what kids are going to school for, which is besides all the free meals and all the free daycare and stuff, is read and write a list to learn how to be competitive in today's world and society. This is a great venture, but this is not going to propel the United States forward in any type of knowledge base other than black history and the injustices that have been served throughout against racial internment camps and everything that's happened throughout history. I understand it's a part of history, but we got to keep the core, do this elsewhere or some other time. We're losing focus and track of why we're going to school.
Fred, I appreciate your comments. Mike McGrath, you're the principal of Montpelier High School. Why do you think it's appropriate to have this focus and this attention on what Fred says is a social movement, not part of an education?
Well, this is the home of Dewey, right? And Dewey has taught us that we need a healthy education to have a healthy democracy. And the experience that our students are having, whether they're in the Racial Justice Alliance or just in the school population in general, is a very rich experience right now. And they're learning a lot about history. They're learning a lot about democracy. And they're learning a lot about information. I mean, it's incredible to see our story told in so many different ways. We're there. We know what's happening. And the story is told in different ways depending on the different media outlet that it's in. And so that there's a great learning experience there just directly. But I would also offer to Fred that, the skills of reading and writing and analysis and arithmetic, as he said, those are not gone at all. And what I think is important to recognize is that there is an opportunity for us to hold up a cultural lens to all of our curriculum and all of our instruction and say, is this culturally competent? And it doesn't take much to do that. There's learning, there's professional development in order to do that. But we can do that to be more culturally responsive without losing any kind of the rigor that's happening. For example, the most easy to hold on to example might be you're going to read an American author in English class. There's no reason why that can't be a black author or a woman author or a transgendered author. And those are just some of the decisions that we can make to build empathy, which is an important skill for students to learn as well at school.
So they're still learning arithmetic. They're still learning grammar.
Without question.
Let's go to Kathy in Montpelier. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi there. So I'm down across from the courthouse where there is a group of people with Black Lives Matter signs, a vigil that's here to be supportive to the school. And I want to say thank you to the Montpelier School District for the work that they've been doing to try to raise issues of institutional racism and correct them. And I guess I just want to address back to the earlier caller who, you know, was speaking about, is school the right place for this to be happening? And I, as you talked, Mike, about the curricular importance of being able to address things from different perspectives, I would add, too, as a person who went through the school system, there is all kinds of missing information and missing perspectives. And when we get the perspective in just one way, it skews what, you know, what we know and what we understand. So I just want to appreciate the multiple perspective nature of thinking about things from different viewpoints and filling in some of those gaps for what people don't know. I myself, as a white person born in Vermont, for what I never learned and had to go out and find on my own, that is some of the material that's being covered in this whole exploration of issues. So thank you, folks.
Kathy, thanks for your comments. Appreciate that. Carl is on the line with us from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Carl. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I think that school is a forum for many different ideas and thoughts, and I just thought I'd comment on Fred's comment that if we are not careful, you might think of the same for drama or sports, and if we have a focus of just for competitiveness, for making money, then those would not qualify to be in school today. So I think just a well-rounded person. I appreciate being challenged, and Black Lives Matter. It's I have to look at myself and say, have I been prejudiced too? And it's good to be challenged that way.
Carl, thanks for your comments. Appreciate hearing from you as well. Mike McGrath, we've been hearing now since Montpelier started flying the flag, other schools have been thinking about this. Burlington High School is now planning to fly the Black Lives Matter flag for the rest of the school year. Have you been talking to other principals? Have other administrators in Vermont and elsewhere gotten in touch with you to talk about this?
Yeah, I've had a little contact with Burlington specifically and good support from my colleagues around the state. It's certainly an issue for everyone. And the thing I would mention is that equity has been the primary topic for a lot of the professional development groups in the state, including the Vermont School Board Association, the VPA, the AOE, and the Vermont Superintendent Association, and the Roland Foundation. So equity is in the air in Vermont, as it should be.
And do you see this sweeping the nation, other schools doing this? Would you recommend it, or have you found the attention to be too much for the school?
No, I think it's very important. And if that is the right fit for the school, I would encourage people to do that. I would also offer that it is not just about the flag for us, that there's a broader discussion happening about inclusiveness and cultural competency in our school. And I think that that is important for that internal work to be done before something that might garner that kind of attention happens.
Mike McGrath is the principal of Montpelier High School. We've been talking about the school's decision to raise the Black Lives Matter flag and the other work the school is doing on racial justice. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.